one of the things he said in John was that one of the reasons he would send his Spirit is that he would remind us of the things that Jesus said. And I think that is such a gift, that we have this Holy Spirit in us that constantly reminds us of truth and reminds us of what Jesus has said about us and about what he's doing, about the gospel and about his love and his sacrifice for us. And when we get saved, we have this beautiful thing that where the Holy Spirit comes and he never leaves us nor forsake us. He's always there. We're never abandoned. One of the other things it talks about in John's, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. We never are orphans. We never, and Brett talked about that last week, that we never have this sense that we're not loved or we're not accepted or we don't belong, because that is what an orphan believes. But we actually are adopted into his family as one of his own. And it's such a beautiful thing to know that you have a place and a home in God's family. And you know that he loves you and he sees you and he embraces you and wants you in the family. And it's such a beautiful thing. And I can remember, you know, the first day that we brought our adopted children to our place. And it's such a significant day, because it's all, you know, we talk about and we visit and we kind of, it's almost kind of this surreal time of building this relationship. But when you bring them home, it's like, it's that forever moment that you go, you know, this is locked in. This is where you belong. This is what it's about. And I feel like for all of us, you know, we've all been lost. You know, we're all lost. We've all been lost, but now we've been found. You know, we all have a place and a home in God, and it's such a beautiful thing. And I just want us to know that, because I think there's something special about knowing that when you're home, when you have a home, then there's something about you can build your life in that place when you know that you have a safe place to land. And I just want to encourage you today. You know, Jesus is a safe place to land, and he adopts us and embraces us into his family. And he's still doing it, and he's still reaching girls from, you know, he's still calling people by name, pulling them out of, I think, Campbelltown. Is Campbelltown? I think it was Campbelltown. It was West. And it wasn't in the Shire. And the day, like we had a sausage sizzle, and I think this is significant, because you don't always think about the donations you make. You know, we had a sausage sizzle after church, and you know, there were a bunch of us buying sausages, and each sausage was costing $25 and $50 and $100. And I said to you on the day, you're not buying a sausage, you're actually supporting a person to go to camp. So don't be stingy. And you weren't. We were generous. We raised over $1,000 on that day for a sausage sizzle, and a bunch of kids were able to go to camp, and someone's life was significantly changed because we did that. And it's awesome. And we should be encouraged that God is on the move and God is at work. And he doesn't give up. He doesn't give up on us. And it's such a beautiful thing. So let me pray. Jesus, we invite you and we welcome your Holy Spirit to come and just hijack anything that you want to do. Lord, we know we have some thoughts and some ideas, but we pray that you add your grace on it so it really lands and finds its place in our hearts and grows in such a way that multiplies in a beautiful way, which we can impact our community and the people around us. So we're ready, Lord. We just want to say we're ready and we're open. So whatever it is we want to do, I pray that, Lord, that you'd see our hearts as a target of your grace and mercy today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Righto. Put my eyes on. I don't know if you're the type of person that finishes stuff and doesn't starts things but don't finish them. Some people go, no, that's not me. Thank you. One person, Margaret, I appreciate your support today. You know, I'm not, I think there's a couple of things that I, like books, I'm not really good at finishing books. I start books really well. You know, when you start a book and you go, I'm so keen. I'm more attracted to the title than I am the content at times. And I get into the book and then I get going and then I get, and it just takes me. So I have a pile of books that are unfinished work. I don't know about projects, you know, projects that we have that maybe are unfinished. They say that carpenters are the worst people to marry because if you go to a carpenter's house, it's always the job that's unfinished. And we've got some carpenters here. I don't know if that's true about you, but it's probably not, maybe. Electricians, all that kind of stuff. Painters, yeah. Plumbers, yes. Yeah. There's all these people. And there are a lot of reasons why things stop us. You know, it could be, you know, a change of circumstances. It could be a lack of resources. It could be just motivation. It could be disappointment or discouragement. You know, we start out doing something really well and something happens and, you know, it takes the wind out of us and we think, oh, I don't really want to do that anymore. You know, it can be offense. There's a relationship breakdown and just stops us pursuing something that we felt that we should finish. But we probably all know what it feels like to have something incomplete in our life. We all know what it means to have unfinished work in our life. And that's what I love about this promise, which I want to share with you today. And it comes from Philippians 1. And so I'm going to put it up on the screen here, and we're just going to read this passage. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, I love his story because for those who don't know, Paul, you know, wasn't always a God botherer. He was actually someone, you know, it was actually a persecutor of Christians and persecutor of people. And God, you know, on the road met with him and he had a major encounter which transformed him and became a follower of Christ. You know, God reached out to him and said to him, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing this? And he turned his life around from that moment. And so we see Paul writing and he plants the different churches over time. And one churches that he plants is the church in Philippi, which is where this book is written to the church, the Philippian church, and he's just simply writing to a church. So it'd be like Paul writing to the church of Janelli, or it'd be like if I was to leave, I would write you a letter, and I would write you a church to the church of Janelli from Brooke, the apostle. No. Why are you laughing? I thank my God every time I remember. So he's in sort of house arrest in Rome at this time. So, you know, you could say that he was in prison. And you sort of think, you know, like, I mean, obviously he's got a lot of time on his hands, so he's probably thinking, there was no internet back then, so he's probably not scanning his phone. And so he's, you know, he's writing this letter to this church that he loves and that he cares about. And this church has actually supported him for a time. And he wanted to simply just encourage them. And he goes, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of the partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you all since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ, of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what the best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So I just want to focus on that one that I've highlighted there about being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. I love how Paul starts this letter, and he's sort of, you know, it says there that he says, in all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy. You know, I love that. Like he's in jail. I get this picture of him in house arrest and he's praying and he's got a smile on his face. You know, like it's not a burden for him to pray for this church. He actually has great affection for them. And I love this, that it actually starts with a smile, but also he has an expectation in his heart, I would say, because when you're smiling about something, it's often that you're thinking that something good is about to happen for that, you know, for that situation. And so I think Paul, you know, was sitting there praying in house arrest. He's in jail, and you imagine he's in there and he's smiling as he's praying for this church. And I love that his heart is filled with joy and expectation. You know, because he sees that these people are great people of faith, he wanted to acknowledge that. And that's what this passage is about. He wanted to acknowledge the good work that God had started in them, and he wanted to make sure that they would continue it. And I don't know about you, but have you forgotten the good work that God has started in you? Because, you know, there's some great work in this room. And some of us have been walking with Jesus for a little while, and we kind of get spiritual Alzheimer's, and we forget the good work that God started in you. And, you know, and we need to remember those things. And maybe you've only just started out on the journey. Maybe you've only been a Christian like this girl we talked about. She's only been a Christian for days. But God started a good work. Maybe you've been a Christian for 30, 40 years, but God has done a work in you that you need to remember, and it needs to give you a sense of joy. And sometimes we forget the fire. You know, I had this picture, even when I was sitting there today, I was thinking about, you know, men's camp coming up, which that's the announcement right there. Men's camp's coming out. And if you want to come along, talk to me afterwards. It's in a couple of weeks. But that wasn't a very good announcement. It wasn't very inspiring. Anyway, what was I talking about? Fire. Thank you. You know, when you're sitting around, like we had a few fire nights over winter at my place, and, you know, there was more smoke than fire, let's just say that. And but, you know, there's a bunch of people there, you know, and then we're all standing around. Everyone has a different opinion about how this fire is going to work, you know, and everyone's got their, you know, everyone's sort of, you know, got their newspapers, and everyone's protecting it, getting around it, because we're believing it's going to start, right? You know, but then, you know, my good friend Rod decides to bring out the air blower, you know, and he's like, he sees a spark there, and he goes, this thing's going to go. And so he blows the air, and all, sure enough, you know, the fire starts going. And I just love this picture, because I think about sometimes that spark is sometimes us. Sometimes we forget the spark or that growth that God's put on us. And sometimes we need to allow the Holy Spirit just to breathe on it and show us exactly what he's been doing, and start to fire up those things that he started in us, that he wants to bring to completion. And that's his promise. And there are many things in our life like that. I love that Paul writes, he says, I always pray with joy because of the partnership in the gospel. They'd supported him. Being confident of this, there's a confidence here, which I love. He says, you know, he starts from a place of faith, if you like, that he has seen them at their best. He has seen them give well. He has seen them contribute. He has seen them support. He has seen them love. He has seen them care for him. And he's saying, look, I'm confident that what started in you is not just going to happen for me, but it's going to happen for a whole bunch of other people. That what's in you is amazing. What God has started in you is beautiful. And I want to encourage you to keep going in the same direction. Now, where does that confidence come from? Well, he knew that they'd received the word of God and they'd received it. He knew that they'd heard the word of God and received it. He knew that they'd believed in the word of God. And he had confidence that if you believe the word of God, then you can have confidence. I'll say that again. If you believe the word of God, you can have confidence. You know, and I think it's so important that we grab hold of that, because that's the truth, that, you know, we just need to have confidence in God's word and what he says. And that's about the promises, right? He knew they were confident because their lives displayed good fruit. They showed evidence of the fact that the word had taken root in their life, and they were actually contributing to his faith by giving him deep love and offerings and all that kind of stuff, and that they were also starting to spread the gospel, which is great. He saw something in them. He saw good fruit in their lives. Sure, they weren't perfect, but they were sort of postured in the right direction, you could say. And their gaze was towards Jesus. And so he had great confidence. So he starts praying in joy. He's like, I'm so stoked. I'm happy. I'm smiling. I've got real confidence that this is actually true. I've got confidence that what God started in you, he's going to finish. Such an important word. I love this next part of the passage where it says, can you put it back up on the screen there? Yeah, thank you. Not good enough? You're leaving? That's all right. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work. I love this picture because it's Jesus who does the work. It's the Holy Spirit who does the work. It's not us. And Paul is describing this. I just want to put another scripture up there. Go to the next passage. That's great. And this is the kind of reminder, I suppose, them. This is in chapter 2, and this is after that passage where we hear about Jesus humbling himself, and then he died on a cross. for us, but this whole picture of humility. He goes on and says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, remember, speaking to the same church, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. The NLT says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. God is working in you, giving you a desire, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. In the message, it says this, what I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning when I was living among you and you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation. Reverent, and I love this picture, reverent and sensitive before God. Reverent and sensitive before God. Be energetic in your life of salvation. And he goes on to say that energy is God's energy. An energy deep within you. God himself willing and working at what we give him, what we will give him the most pleasure. God does it, and it's our responsibility to simply humble ourselves and work out our salvation with fear and trembling. What does that mean? It says work out your salvation with reverence and awe. Reverence and awe. We serve a holy God. And we recognize he's holy and he's set apart. And we posture ourselves. Because the whole promise is that he will bring what he started in us, he'll bring it to completion. Now our posture needs to be that, you know, I'm gonna start in a posture of reverence and awe. I'm gonna start with fear and trembling. I'm gonna humble myself and I'm gonna posture myself in a place of worship. This is important because how often when we feel disappointed and discouraged because we feel like we're a bit lost in our journey with God, the thing that goes out of our life is normally worship and praise and thanksgiving, and the thing that comes in is often grumbling and complaining. And so he's saying, if you want to work out your salvation, work it out with reverence and awe. Posture yourself in that place of deep worship and honor before God. So what's the good work that he wants to do? I love the fact that he does it, and it's important for us to, I just want to affirm that in each one of us that, you know, it's like you look at your spiritual life and you think, oh man, how am I going to do this? And it's like, you don't have to do anything. He is going to do it in you. The Holy Spirit is going, we have to posture ourselves in a place of humility, worship and prayer, reverence and awe, fear and trembling. And then we just allow the Holy Spirit to do that work in us because we've humbled ourselves and he can work with that. So what's the good work? We see this in this prayer in Philippians 9, which is then go back to the other thing. It says, and this is my prayer, that you would love more, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and deep depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. Now, there are three movements, if you like, or three ideas in this, and I feel like the aim of his prayer is abounding love. The thing that he wants to see come to completion in them is abounding love. God is love, right? That's how he defines himself. God is love. And if anything is meant to complete or grow in us, is love. We need to grow in love. Your capacity to grow in love is so important because as you grow in love, you have the capacity to grow in life. And, you know, I'm a bit of a love guy. Are you a love person? Yeah. Oh, thanks, Josh. When Jesus, you know, when God disarms himself of love, and we read 1 Corinthians 13 and we hear about, you know, we read it at weddings and all that kind of stuff, but that is a picture for me of discipleship. That when we become love, then we become like him. And I love the fact that when we read that passage, that we hear at the end that love never fails. That God never fails. And that's his promise to us. Love never gives up. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love keeps no record of wrongs. How do you keep no record of wrongs unless you feel loved? You know, I've always said that the more you understand love, the less you'll need love from others. Because if you are fully loved in God, then your capacity to love them without anything in return is beautiful. So God wants this prayer is that if they're going to grow, he wants them to grow in love, abounding love. So the aim for Paul is that I want you to grow in abounding. That's the thing that I see here in you. And the hope is like this radiant beauty, this shining light. It talks about in that passage that you may be able to discern what is best and maybe pure and blameless for the day of Christ. We read a bit further on in Philippians 2, which interesting, it says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. And he says, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. So there's this sense that the picture that I see of these people is that they grow in love, that they abound in love, that they have this radiant beauty about them which makes them shine like the stars in the universe. And the final vision, I suppose, for him to grow is that last passage, that you be filled with the fruit of righteousness comes from Jesus to the glory and the praise of God. That, sure, that you would, my picture is this, is that being confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion till the day of Christ. What is he confident? What's the good work? He wants to abound in love. He wants them to radiate in light. Be without blame. He wants them to give glory to God in everything that they do. See, God wants to do something in you. You love that passage. It says, he who began a good work in you. He wants to do something in you. If he does something in you, then everything about you will look a lot better. We've got to become bigger on the inside. How do I become bigger? We allow that work to happen. The finished work of God in our life. The process of becoming like him. Completion. I love that word. Who likes when things are complete? Who likes when you've cleaned a house and it's complete for like an hour if you've got children? But it was complete. I'm not perfect. God's still doing a work in me and he's still doing a work in you. And it's never going to be totally perfected until I meet him. But what I do know, because, you know, every time I get cleaned up, you know, it's like when I clean the house, I come out and I do things and things get a bit messy again and then I've got to clean it up again. I fall back into old habits or old thoughts or old ideas or lies, but start to believe lies again and all that sort of stuff. And so I go back and I go, okay, Lord, I want you to remove that stuff again, start again, do a work in me. But he keeps clean. He's going to keep doing it and he's going to keep working at it. And the great thing about God is that he never walks away from you. You know, there's plenty of jobs in my life I've walked away from. But he's never walking away from you. He won't quit. He's not going to look at you and go, man, you are just too difficult. Or you're too hard. Or you're too exhausting. He's not going to quit. If we posture ourselves in reverence and awe, he's not going to quit. He's going to keep pursuing us and growing us. I was thinking he doesn't lose focus. Isn't it good we have a God that doesn't lose focus? Man, I lose focus. He stays on point. And he sees us. And he sees our potential like Paul saw the potential of that church. And he looks at us and he says, you know what? What I started in you, I'm going to bring it to completion. If you just keep posturing yourself in worship, keep posturing yourself in hunger and desire for righteousness and you'll be filled up. Keep posturing yourself in that place where you come to me and I will fill you up. I'll give you what you need. I will do the work. And he's going to bring it. And as I said, he always hopes. And he always perseveres because he's love and he never fails. You know, God's never started a job and failed. Never started a project and failed, you know. He doesn't fail. And he's not going to fail with you. So my invitation is, and this is the promise, right, is that you can be confident of this, that he who began a good work, and he sees a good work in you, who started it in you, he will bring it to completion until the day of Christ. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you see us. And there's still some work to be done. And thank you that you are committed to that work. Thank you that you are committed to make us in such a way that we would shine like stars in the universe. And Lord, I pray for those who are feeling discouraged or disappointed, for those who have given up on themselves, Lord, I pray that we would have great hope today. Because of what you have given us and what you bring into our lives. We thank you for salvation. We sung it before. Salvation is found in no one else. Only Jesus can save us, and we are grateful for that. And I pray, Lord, that as we go out of here, that we would see ourselves as someone who God is committed to, who God is willing and more than able to start and bring and complete all the work that you're doing in our life. And Lord, I pray for those areas of our lives which we think, oh, I'm never going to be able to do that. I'm never going to be able to feel that again. I'm never going to be able to experience that again. I'm never going to be able to believe that again. I pray for a breakthrough in those areas today. I pray, Lord, that you would break through our unbelief, that you would break through our doubts, and that you would increase our faith to believe that you're a miracle-working God. And the places in our hearts that we think can never be resolved, I thank you that your promise is that you can resolve them and that you can reconcile them. And we just love that, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.